Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Are the Patriots in trouble?
When I think about the Patriots, you think about Superman and Kryptonite. Us being Superman and the Patriots being Kryptonite.
Caught in the end zone, Vance McDonald.
I said the Patriots are going to be 11-5.
Right.
This is the only way they get to that fifth loss.
Intercepted at the 5-yard line. A wounded duck intercepted by Taylor.
We're waiting for Bing Crosby to shoot some goose out of the sky.
If you think for 1 second Tom Brady's going to play till he's 45, you're foolish.
Tom Brady was under pressure, and he threw a lollipop up.
Hey, kid, you want some candy?
Now you see what is a slightly above average team in 2018 that we're just hanging on to their glory days for them.
Right now.
Steelers.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I can't argue with any of the critics. I have no dispute whatsoever. Road game?
No.
Team goes out the road?
I mean, you can speak You can speak of the joy in which they speak of it. Right?
Well, they're a little giddy.
How happy.
They're a little giddy.
I can't say I'm not a little giddy
myself.
It's
been a long time. These guys have been waiting a long time to do
Chris,
this.
Chris, you want your moment here? Five losses are in the...
You're going to piss people off, you know. These are New England fans we're broadcasting to. You're going to piss them off.
No, I'm not.
You gave them a negative stat at the beginning of the year.
I did.
When's the last time the Patriots were 11-5? 9 years ago?
I don't remember.
Are you done at 11-5?
See, that's what's next.
I mean, because it is.
That's what people are
saying.
So
they're going to win two straight?
Yeah, 11-5 would be a good thing, right? Yeah. People are freaking out thinking that 10-6 may be a possibility. I don't know if I'm going to go there yet.
You can't lose to Buffalo and the Jets at home.
Not at home.
They don't even have a running back.
Not at home.
They lost all the running backs. They had a fullback playing tailback because most of their guys were injured.
Josh Allen's their running back.
Yeah.
Christian.
Nuts.
Pittsburgh used a fourth string running back yesterday. Do you know he had never run the ball, even in high school, that many times? That was the most times that Samuels had ever run a football in any football game ever.
He came, you know, we were talking about James Conner and how it could make a big difference. Yeah. And then we were talking about Stephen Ridley, you know, and does he still have anything left? No, Jalen Samuels, who had 23 carries and 59 yards coming into this game.
Who was that?
He had 19 carries, a buck 42. They could not stop Jalen Samuels. So I don't care who the Bills sign in this week.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what running back they bring in. The man's going to run effectively against this team.
Not at home.
Dalvin Cook didn't run at home?
Not at home. Yeah,
they just stopped running his ass.
That's probably it, right? They could have done more damage. And that guy was a former tight end.
Yeah.
Like, that to me makes me go, where the hell are you playing tight end at? What
NC
school
State
uses you as a tight end? You're probably just a really good athlete. They didn't really have a position for you. And they say, you know, we're going to put you at tight end, just see what you can do.
Oh, right, so let's get to the bad and the ugly.
I don't
right
know. Where do you want to start?
Penalties. Come on. You can't go out there and... By the way, 14 accepted. There were more than that. 14 accepted penalties. Eight of them were pre-snap.
Yeah.
Eight of them.
Pre-snap.
You can't
we got people
going
to call in. I understand that. With Callahan this morning yelling, screaming about the referees and penalties.
Oh, stop it.
Well, there are a couple. Sure, there are a couple. Eight pre-snap penalties. Eight of them. Like, how do you explain that? Pass interference to Jonathan Jones. Got it. I'm with you. A couple holding calls. Hey, okay. Eight pre-snap penalties?
See, to me, that's focus. That's mental toughness. You're out in the road. There's a loud crowd. You're sitting there. You can't hear. Maybe they go silent. You're sitting there, and you start losing your mind, and you start moving. Two tackles, did it twice, each one of them.
Yeah, and I would say that out of the 14, there was there's two. Well, there's one, definitely. The Jonathan Jones pass interference penalty I thought was a terrible call. Terrible call. The other one I thought was Malcolm Brown. I couldn't even find that one. Like supposedly him holding one of the offensive linemen, so they couldn't get to their block.
That was a crappy call.
And then the other one was Marcus Cannon, a holding call on Marcus Cannon.
The armbar one.
Yeah, because I sit there and go, the guy slants inside, the defensive tackle slants inside, and it looks like he just grabs him and grabs him, but he really doesn't impede his movement because he's going that way anyways, but it looks bad. But still, okay, fine. You want to give him that one? But other than that, there weren't every penalty they got, they earned. And there was another one on Antonio Brown's touchdown that was a holding penalty, but it was declined because obviously it was a touchdown. So they didn't want it.
So 14 penalties, eight of them pre-snap. On top of that, they had three or four drop passes, depending on your definition of a drop pass. And when you look at the play-by-play sheet, Every single one of these, virtually every single one of them, came at a key moment on that drive. So, in other words, you kill drive. So, if you're looking at the play-by-play sheet and you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, after the Patriots scored that first touchdown, which was easy because Pittsburgh had a breakdown in their secondary and, you know, left Hogan wide open, after that, they punted on five consecutive possessions. But go back and look at four of those five. Those were drives that they were moving the football, and they screwed up with either dumb penalty or a drop pass.
I know after they won that Minnesota game, that was like a show-me game. I'm going to take something back because they are no longer the team to beat in the AFC.
He's pulling it back. He's pulling it back.
Uh-oh. It's like the bullpen.
Yep. He's coming over to my side.
They are no longer the team to beat. And I tell you, I thought this one was a little bit more disturbing than the Miami one.
I got a new nickname, to be honest with you. I get a new nickname for you. Week to week Lou.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, really, I don't know. I feel like
I needed two weeks. I didn't change my attitude after that Miami game. That was a fluke. That was a fluke loss. They struggled down there. You know, it was a fluke thing at the end of the game. The offense showed. They went up there. They put up some points. They always struggle. I predicted an ugly win. It should have been an ugly win. This one here speaks to other things. After losing a game like that down in Miami, to go out there and play as sloppy as you did with all of these penalties, and for your quarterback to have another brain fart, now you start looking and saying, okay, we've got serious issues. They're not capable of playing it, not just physically, but maybe mentally on the road. And I'll tell you, on the road, I would even say like in prime time, big time games at home in the playoffs. Is this team mentally tough enough to stop making these stupid mistakes? And what's up with your quarterback making stupid mistakes?
But
yeah, no, everything changed. Sorry. Yeah, you can call me what you want.
Can we go back and get that?
No, it's a 2 week Lou. Yeah, 2 week Lou. 2 week Lou. It's not a 1 week Lou. It took 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
But you got all excited when they played well.
I put a lot of stock in that game. What do you want me to tell you?
Here's what he's going to do.
I would be picking the Yankees in this series.
They're going to beat Buffalo next week.
Then
they're
going to beat the Jets. About beating Buffalo and the Jets.
And 2 week Lou will get all excited against AC.
They're going to win the Super Bowl.
It'll even get better than that. Ready for this, Christian?
No way.
They will get the number 2 seed because Houston will go into Philly and lose next week. New England will end up with the number 2 seed. And 2 week Lou is going to sit there and get all excited again.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get excited. When
so
they
now
beat the
you've
Jets
seen enough.
Coming off a bye.
Now you've seen enough.
This week bothered me.
Football
that was awful.
Again.
I would say it's there's these isolated. Can you chalk it up to just isolated incidents of like lightning striking at the wrong time and all these things kind of coming week after week? Because I would say the Miami game. All right, you just kind of have to say, you know what, that should never happen, but it did. And then you go, all right, so you're one of the least penalized teams. I think you are the least penalized team in
you
the
are.
NFL.
Going into that game, I don't know what they
are. No, not anymore.
Game.
But going into that game, you're
the top five.
Remember, they had a game where they didn't have any penalties. Not one.
Right.
Not one flag was thrown. Right. They were so good. And then what are you, Jekyll or Hyde? I'm not sure which team you are. So you go on the road, and you play against a very sporadic, inconsistent Steeler team. Dangerous, because they have weapons. And they do everything to give you the game. They play like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They play like how you thought they would play. Just dumb, bad decisions, bad clock management, stupid decisions. You get two interceptions, two, and yet you still can only score 10 points because every single time you had an opportunity or you were starting to get into a flow, you either had a drop pass or a penalty,
stupid.
Which killed it. So I sit there and go, all right, I actually felt a little bit better after watching the game.
You're out of your mind.
There is a hint.
Why? Because they repeatedly make
hint,
stupid
you know
mistakes.
What it is?
A
no.
hint?
He watched,
no.
He watched the film again today. It's 2 hour Christian over
here.
No. That's what it is.
Last
2 hour
night,
Christian. 2 weeks
old. Are you going to get on me?
Oh, please.
You feel better about this team after that game.
Okay, so.
Lost your mind.
Okay, so explain this to me.
I'm going to try.
Explain this to me. Because I'm sitting there going, okay, it's these little things that are just killing them. And it doesn't happen to them a lot. Like they're usually the king of the little things. They dominate that area. It's a once in a lifetime situational, you know, gaffe that killed them.
Unless it's back-to-back
and you sit
week.
There and go, all right, is this fixable or is this just who you are?
Who are you explaining this to? I mean, who are you talking
about?
No,
I'm asking you.
You sound like you're talking about talented football teams other than the Patriots, the way we've talked about other teams in the past. There's a lot of talent there, but they're stupid. They're dumb. They're mentally weak. They're incapable of fixing these mistakes when they go on the road or whatever it might be. The talent might be there, but they're just not smart enough to execute.
Okay, so is it that
they're the rest of the league right now?
Okay, so it's
they are
so
the
it's
rest
not,
of
so
the
so
league.
So it's not fixable, and this is just who they are. So you could sit there and fight through it, and why do you have trouble on the road? I don't know.
So
why can't you stay onside? I don't know.
You're telling me that you went back and watched this game again, and you actually felt better about this team?
Yes. It's crazy, right?
Because of little things. So let me
Hold on, because I'm going to – no, because of what
please,
you
please
said.
Please explain
because
it, because
of
this
what
makes
you
no
said.
Sense to me.
I sat there all morning, watched the game two more times this morning.
Two more times.
Yep, after
I watched it three times.
Okay, no, I wrote it down.
How about the All-22?
I wrote it down.
How about the All-22?
It's not out yet. Because Twitter kind of leads you down a road that isn't reality.
Oh.
It's like emotional.
Really? He's learning
it's
this?
Emotional. It's imagination land. Oh. It's anger-filled. It like doesn't make any sense. So if you're like delirious because you didn't get any sleep last night, you were doing all these sorts of shows, then you could get influenced down that road. And you go, whoa, no. So I sat there, and people are tweeting out, like, they don't have any creativity. I heard of people calling the shows, like Dale's show and Morning Show. They have no creativity. Now, they have no heart. They're mentally weak. And I'm like, all right, let's go back and look at every single play. And like you talked about how every single drive was either screwed because of a drop pass. That wasn't a hard drop pass. It wasn't like a tough catch.
Right in your breadbasket.
Right?
They're not good enough.
By guys who are usually reliable.
Big plays, 20-plus yard plays. Yep.
So every single time you got into a flow or Josh McDaniels started kind of getting into a rhythm where he could get to these secondaries and these third plays or these plays that can only be run after you set them up on run plays or play action, he never was able to get to those plays.
Right.
And then you have the best quarterback in the world make another boneheaded, stupid play. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So I sit there and go, could Brady not – was he trying to throw it out of bounds? Yes, he said after the game that he was trying to throw it out of bounds. Well, he didn't – what, does he weak now? Or did he have a bad angle?
You know what he is now? Overly cautious.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, overly cautious. We go back to what he said weeks ago on the morning show about being cautious. The older he gets, he doesn't want to throw interceptions. Now he's taking it to another level.
It's hard for me to get hurt.
Well, and he's making sure of that.
Yeah.
Because he is quitting on plays. He is not moving around in that pocket. You know, he talked about the mobility he has. You go back and watch, because I did rewatch it, not twice, but I did look at it once. He's not kind of moving into the spaces. It's almost like he's moving into the traffic. And because of that, he's throwing the ball off back leg or off balance, or he's going down as he's throwing it. He is overly cautious right now. A lot of these balls, like in the end zone late, a couple of those ones to Gronk. There's no chance. There's no chance of a reception. He didn't give Gronk a shot at it in his height going up against a shorter defender. Weeks ago, the same thing when he did go to Gronk one-on-one. Two or three games ago, remember he took two or three shots to Gronk in the end zone. None of them were catchable. And he's almost like he's throwing the ball away, whether he just sees traffic, just throws it away, or he kind of senses that the pocket is collapsing and he's not moving around to find the open space and he's throwing it away. It's because he's being overly cautious right now, and you've seen it the last two or three weeks.
It's that whole he'll throw and he almost like fades to the left.
That last play,
he always goes to the left now.
But it's almost like it's becoming a little annoying. Like I get it. Like
he's giving up too much on it.
I would even say there was a third down play that he was throwing to James White.
Yes.
On like a quick little comeback. And he had pressure off to the right. Same similar situation last week in the Miami game. I'm like, you're going to have to start committing to getting hit. Like, to me,
he's not
like, you have, but, well, it's you're going to have to.
But it's going the other way, though.
But it is. It's going drastically the other way.
Absolutely.
Because that one, James White missed, right? It was a little bit behind him.
But he threw. It was a bad throw.
Yes, because he rushed
it. Wasn't a bad route.
Because
yes.
He felt like pressure, and guy was chasing him, but he wasn't about to bury him into the ground.
He's seeing ghosts. Because people, and we had people calling us up after the game last night, said, oh, he was pressured the whole game. He was not pressured the whole game.
They were rushing three or four guys.
He was not pressured.
Tony Romo kept going, oh, look out.
No.
Here he comes.
Right.
And I'm like, there's three guys.
That's a good Tony
Romo
impression.
They're dropping every single player into coverage.
You should put that in your repertoire. It's a good one. He's doing it now because he's trying to keep perfect attendance. He wants to show up every Sunday. That's his game right now. And you're right. The old days, he would take that hit, and we would sit there and go, oh, my God, Brady got really walloped on that play, but he completes the pass. He's not doing that. Last play of the game yesterday, Cannon did a great job T.J. Watt took him out, took him wide, took him out, gave Brady even more time to throw the ball. What did Brady do? He got rid of it quickly because he started seeing ghosts.
His desire to stay healthy and not get hit, so he doesn't
have part
to,
of it.
So he doesn't have to deal with.
But he admits that.
He's admitted that.
Well,
you think he's moving around the pocket like you've seen?
No, I think
because a lot of times, you know, like you're talking about, he had pressure from the right. And it usually just kind of steps up and then over a step, you know, and he just pushes him. Cannon will just push him behind him.
Pocket mobility.
He's not doing that.
He's not the same quarterback.
He's not moving in the pocket right
now. He's good, okay, because he's got all the answers, okay, in his head. He's good, but he's also cautious right now.
Overly
cautious, and he's trying to make sure that he will be here next Sunday and the Sunday after. I want to go back to your little review of the film.
I watched it three times.
And I don't know how you can feel optimistic, because the one thing we know is when you've played 14 games, you've got a pretty good idea of what your team is. Okay? 14 games now, there's a real sample out there. And to me, this thing is crystal clear. We don't have any. There's no question about it. Defensively, if they go on the road, they can't stop the run. Nope. Anybody going to question that?
Nope.
Okay, no questions.
Yeah,
when they're at home, when they're at home, they're a little bit better against the run, though.
Yeah.
They're better. Maybe the
noise.
They're
good against Minnesota.
Okay. Maybe they're not as mentally tough out on the road. But, you know, against the run, not great. Their secondary, especially considering that their front can't stop the run, the secondary is pretty damn good. Secondary was pretty damn good in that game yesterday. Going into the game, if I told you that Smith-Schuster would have 4 catches and 40 yards, and I told you that Antonio Brown would have 4 and 49, and you would limit a Hall of Fame quarterback to a 79 quarterback passing rating, you'd sit there and say, I'll take it. Patriots win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
Thank you, Bill. But right now, their secondary is pretty damn good, and they're getting some performances like they did yesterday from J.C. Jackson that was exceptional. See, you're sitting there going, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, I see, this is one of those days where last week I could easily see like guys not being able to get over that loss. And then this week, okay, you're looking for a bright side. You're looking for good news. You're looking for something that will convince you that you're better than what your eyes are telling you.
Here's the good news.
Because my eyes tell me that you don't show up when you need to. You can't win on the road. I don't know what you're good at.
Now you're figuring it out.
No. But when you look at it, so I think Bill comes in a good mood.
Today?
Yeah. I think he does.
I tell you what, if he doesn't, and we know that, you know, you can always tell when Bill comes in here because we have 5-6 minutes to converse with him before.
I definitely enjoy kicking back and relaxing.
Then what we'll do is we'll open up the interview with Belichick, in which Fourier will throw a joke at him.
Oh, I'm going to have Lou ask it.
Come up with your best joke.
Two guys come
to
a bar.
Open up the interview with you throwing a joke at him.
Well, okay, so they're unique.
Why is Bill going to be in a good mood today?
Because I think you could sit there and go, like, so everyone thinks that the sky is falling, Brady is dead,
he's
not getting
road,
any better.
Christian.
No, I said they were going to go 11-5.
Oh, here we
go. So what do you want me to do?
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Yes, hold on.
Oh, my
thank you.
God.
Give it to me.
So what we got
to
do
don't
now?
Touch me.
What we got to do?
Me too. You're not telling me.
What are you going to throw this out at us? Jesus, we're going to have to hear
you're
this
not telling me. You're not telling me anything I don't know. But, okay.
You sat here and just told us after watching the game again today, you feel much better about the Patriots. Explain.
Well, because when I look at everything that killed them was all self-inflicted. So, and even with that, they still had an opportunity, but they took themselves out of that opportunity by stupid penalties. We're talking false starts. Most of them false starts. Julian Edelman has 2 stupid penalties in a row, and the one penalty that he had, he actually got a big catch for it because he made up for the other penalty, which was a false start.
He lines up
on the line of scrimmage. He covers up the tight end. You can only have 7 guys on the line.
How do you feel good about that?
What are you doing? Because you sit there and you go, I've never done this in my life. And you know what? And it'll never happen
so what
again.
Is it? No, but hold on. So how many of these moments with this team are we going to have that will never happen again?
We're seeing stuff every week.
I mean, illegal formation with Julian Edelman.
Yep. How about the drop
Tom
passes?
Tom Brady takes a sack.
I think Edelman's leading the league right now in drop passes.
Yeah,
this is not Julian Edelman.
And it's funny because I was doom and gloom last night. Doom and gloom last night.
It's over.
Well, now that it's over, you're fooling yourself if you think it's going to change. You're fooling yourself.
So how do you feel better?
All of a sudden, like, they're just going to figure it out.
Lou and I don't think it's going to change. You're the one that thinks
it's going to change. I just figured it out.
We're doomed.
No, it's because you don't think they're very good to begin with.
No, I don't. I never thought
so
they were.
So when you feel better, it's like, okay, you don't think they suck.
No. They're better than.
They're just a team that just incapable of not making stupid
moves. Louis picked them 11-5.
But if you're going to, when you look at like how badly they played, it really is. It's almost historic how bad they played as far as just opportunities wasted, drive-killing penalties, drop passes. I mean, it is like.
It's how the rest of the league plays.
No, but it was even.
They're the rest of the league.
But every now and then, the rest of the league doesn't have this type of unbelievably bad performance.
Sure they do.
No, every now and then, a way of life.
I looked it up last night. You want to see 14-plus penalty games? Look up the Jets. Go through the schedule of the Jets. Go to the Oakland Raiders. I can nail it for you. Browns is a bunch of them.
Three of the worst teams in the NFL. So that's what but not middle of the road, Tennessee, Titans of the world.
Christian, the biggest problem.
I would say go look at Jacksonville.
So let's go
look
back.
At San Diego.
All right,
go look at Denver.
They're no longer
go look at Kansas City.
They're no longer in San Diego.
Go look at Baltimore.
They're no longer in San Diego. They moved.
In other cities, teams, you know, they look at their team and they say, "Oh, okay, we figured it out now," and then they lay an egg.
Yeah,
you know, like Miami, for example. You know, you go and you beat New England at home, and you're right back in the playoff hunt. And then you go up to Minnesota and you fall behind 21-0 against a team that's dropped two straight. So a lot of things don't make sense to other fan bases. They can't figure out their team. And this is kind of like where you're at with the Patriots right now. I'm not saying they suck. They're still going to win this division. But it's nothing what we're accustomed to. And you look at them, you can't figure them out. Why? Because they're just not that good.
They're still a
good team, but they're not what you're used to. They make mistakes that you're not accustomed to seeing Patriot teams make.
Okay, so my question to you earlier, and you too, Glenn, is that, all right, is it fixable, or is this just who they are?
This is who they are.
Because I sit there and go, like, they have no identity. I don't know who they are. And I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, I do.
Christian.
It's up. It's down. Yeah. It's good one day, bad the next. Special teams plays great. Offense plays terrible. Defense plays good. Offensive line can't block anybody. Bill's making all the right calls. Next day, Joshua Daniels can't get a rhythm. Brian Flores is doing a good job with his blitz, his blitz reads and everything else. Next thing you know, the offensive line is going off sides. It's up and down, up and down. There is no consistency. Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. Let's go back to the beginning of the season, and we all sat here and we said defensively they have to get a lot better. But the good news is they don't have to be a shutdown defense because they're going to have an offense that's going to put 30-plus points up every single week. That's what we said. That's what we thought this team was going to be. Well, defensively, they're okay. We know that teams can run on them. We get that. But, you know, to get big plays, it's very difficult because of their secondary. But the difference right now is they don't need big plays because your offense is not good enough. It is the offense that has let this team down. And by the way, the magic number is 10. When they go out and lose these games on the road, like against the Lions, like against Tennessee, like yesterday, how many points do they score?
That would be 10.
10. That's what they score. Did anybody expect at the beginning of the season that a Tom Brady-led offense with all of these guys? They had an excuse earlier in the year. Edelman was hurt. Gronk got nicked up a little bit. They have a new receiver. They have to get Gordon acclimated. Excuse now.
They're still scoring 10 points on the road.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
The touchdown was a gift.
Well, yeah, the one touchdown they scored was a broken defensive scheme.
It was a gift. No, it is, and that's the scary thing, is that going into this game, and we said, let's see what it looks like against Minnesota. Get everybody back. All right, let's see what it looks like against Miami. You know, you struggle, but you got everybody back and you put up 33 points. You got everybody back. Like, this is what I'm saying going into this game here this week. That is the scary thing. You know, there isn't, usually this time of year, if you're losing a game like this, you're like, man, it's too bad that, you know, Edelman went down or Gronk went down or they lost Hightower a couple years ago when he was on top of his game or this guy's down or that offensive line's, everybody's hurt, that guy's hurt. But this is their team. Like, when they put a team together at the beginning of the year, this is probably better than what they imagined, only because they didn't have Josh Gordon. So they actually brought in a wide receiver who was actually helping them. This is their defense. This is their secondary. This is their defensive front, their linebackers. This is their offensive line, their quarterback, their running backs. I mean, this is who they dreamed of being week 15.
10 and points.
It's not
good enough. On the road. 10 points on the road.
You built a team that's just not good enough.
Christian, they've gone 6 quarters now scoring 1 touchdown.
They're not good anymore.
6 quarters. And by the way, the reason everybody is giddy is what you just heard was from back in, what, 2000 and when was that? 2004, whenever he said
lost,
it?
Lost 2003? To the Chiefs on the road.
No, later. That was like 2012, 2013.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, 14. The other one was they hate their coach. That was back in 2003, 2004.
Lori Malloy, yeah.
So everybody expected the death march. And there are some people, I think, right now are going to, walk slowly and maybe take some shots at the Patriots, but they're not willing to say they're dead because the Patriots may get a major break here. As I said, Houston loses this game. They get the number two seed. If they're playing right here, where we are, here in Gillette Stadium, in the first couple playoff games, they're probably, based on the 14 games we've seen, they're probably going to win those games.
There's another. So Mikey Reese last night. What did he say during our show?
Bitch slap, by the way.
He always does. He always does.
I know.
If you're looking for a bright side, if you're looking for a silver lining, so if you go back, the only team to win a Super Bowl with a road loss, with a losing record on the road.
I know the answer to this one.
Oh, I know you probably, because I tweeted it out also, is the Green Bay Packers.
I didn't see your tweet.
The Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010 after having a losing record on the road. So I don't know if it's if that helps you out a little bit.
No, I don't think they can win on the road. They can't win on the road. If they're forced to play on the road, you've got to be out of your mind if you're going to feel confident going into a road game anywhere with this team. You've got a sample here.
And there's other numbers that are out there, too, that remind you of two teams you want to be reminded of. One of them is the team you were on, 2012.
How about 09?
12.
So, 2002, right?
Yes, 9-7.
Last time you lost two games in December?
Yeah.
2002?
Consecutive, yeah.
And then everything else is with 2009.
Right.
It'd be the first time you don't win at least 12 games since 2009. At 500 record or more, right? 3-5. It's the first time since 2009.
Suppose it all falls in place for you and you get home games here, and then the AFC Championship turns out to be a home game because the number 5 seed, the runner-up in the AFC West, ends up knocking off the number 1 team?
I'm just saying, you think it matters?
I think it's a huge difference.
I think
they still have a chance to go to the Super Bowl if they get a free ride here.
I feel like this team could lose at home and we wouldn't be shocked at all because we'd be sitting there saying, yeah, we saw it all year long.
Yeah, because they weren't
just like this. Penalties, drops, red zone ineffectiveness, quarterback doing things you've never seen him do before, late in games, late in half, whatever it might be. No, I think this thing will end, and it'll be pretty predictable with how it looks.
I'm not sure it will be predictable, because I think they can win at home. I think they're good enough to win at home. They still have Brady. He's still capable of coming up and having a gigantic game. They still have Belichick. So I think that's possible. I think, clearly, if they have to go on the road, you're not going to feel good about them. But sure, that's possible. I mean, you already said it. Who's great out there? I mean, Kansas City has their own issues right now. Anybody trust Andy Reid? Patrick Mahomes has had a great year, but if he starts throwing some of that left-handed crap in the middle of a playoff game when the game's on the line, good luck. And even the Chargers. I mean, I know everybody loves them now because it's the last thing they've seen, the Chargers.
Yeah,
won.
But here's
they
the thing.
They didn't beat anybody all year long.
Here's the thing with the Chargers. So the Chargers just look like they've developed a better resume, a better personality.
Because they don't play home games anymore.
No,
there are no home games. Every game is a road game for them.
They play good teams. They come from behind. They play with the lead. They don't give up.
Right.
They take chances. I mean, it's just a different – you compare the San Diego Chargers, and I'm going to call them San Diego.
No, you can't.
Why
are you being disrespectful?
No, because I feel like the L.A. Rams, people are okay with you. No one messes up the L.A. Rams.
So what did you call Cassius Clay? Did you call him Muhammad Ali? Did you call him Muhammad Ali?
I'm going to call him Clay.
I'm
going to call him Clay.
That's what I mean. When people change their name or they move, you move with them. You got to change.
They got to win a couple playoff games, and then maybe we'll change to L.A.
Too weak, Lou.
Yeah. They will change.
I love it.
They don't deserve it yet.
I've seen the light. They beat Minnesota. I've seen the light.
Lou.
So you have to.
Let's get to the front.
I can't let you change.
Why?
You have to stick with it. Because you can't do it.
How can you do that?
You need to convince people that don't worry about what you saw.
I tried to do that after Miami.
Flip-flop artist.
I can't after this one.
You can.
No.
You have a bunch of examples.
Nope.
You want me to do it?
So you want to throw?
Do it.
You want to throw Brady throwing a pick in the red zone and Brady being overly cautious in the pocket and all these pre-snap penalties and these key drops and just say that's a fluke?
No,
it's not. It's kind of who they are right now.
So I'm going to flip-flop.
This is who they are,
Christian. You flip-flopped after watching the game again.
No, I still.
That's all. Here's
what I said. I said, I don't feel as bad as I did last night. I feel better about it.
No, I don't.
I mean, based on how badly they played.
You better wish for all home games for this team.
Well, they're not going to get it.
All home games.
They're going to have a home game.
Maybe they can move the Super Bowl out of Atlanta, move it to Gillette. Okay, maybe we can do that.
Here's the thing. I almost feel like they need to. They need a home game. They shouldn't have a first-round bye. Because if they have a first-round bye, whoever comes out of that wild card round is probably going to be better than you.
I think they're going to get one.
And you're going to end up losing at home.
I think they're going to get one. I think Nick Foles
is
going to give them.
Your best chance is to win, is to play that first week of the playoffs and then beat that team and go on the road and lose.
I think they're going to play at home. We shall see.
The best chance to lose in the second round.
It's unbelievable.
You got them losing that second round no matter what.
Yes.
Okay, just check.
So you want one more win?
I will tell you.
You want one more win?
You're either crazy or you haven't been paying attention. If anybody thinks that this team is better off going out on the road, you're crazy. All right, 617-779-7937. To the phone calls, your reaction coming up next. We'll talk to the coach coming up at 3 o'clock.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
And on the, you mentioned the turnover in the red zone. You've talked about it after the game. Just didn't, is that the goal there to get the ball out of bounds and you fell short of trying to throw it away completely?
Yeah, I was kind of in the pocket and I was looking left and I felt the guy on the left and I felt the guy on the right and I didn't want to take a sack and I threw it and, you know, just didn't, then obviously, you know, another 5 yards is what I needed and just miscalculated it.
He did the right thing. He just didn't get enough on the ball. But he did the right thing. At that point, you know, you don't want to get sacked because all you're doing is you're getting further away from scoring. No,
but it's tougher to throw the ball out of bounds when you're falling down.
Right.
I'm just saying if you plant your foot, right, if you stood up and you threw it out of bounds, it maybe took a little bit of a hit.
Yep.
But he's now falling down. So, you know, as far as him feeling how far he needs to throw the ball to get out of bounds, he needed a little bit of extra because he didn't count on his momentum falling to the ground while throwing. And this is part of it. You know, it's just, overly cautious is one way to describe the way you've seen him play. And the reality is that right now, Tom Brady, Superman's not good enough to overcome, to me, this roster.
Yeah,
I think he has been in the past.
I think the problem...
He's not the same guy right now.
The problem is offense. I mean, if we looked at defense, I think they're doing about as much as we could expect with the personnel they have. You know, you could readdress that and say, well, they screwed up with Shelton because he was a healthy scratch yesterday. Can't stop the run. They brought him in to do some of that. So, and the secondary, they did a great job yesterday against the passing attack of Pittsburgh. It's pretty good passing attack.
I tell you what, I mean, we did the good, the bad, the ugly. I feel like we just did bad and ugly.
What good is there?
The good? Well, I'll tell you what's good. Hold on.
He's got a lot of good coming out of this game.
No. I got better coming out. I was so far. No, J.C. Jackson.
Okay, give it to you.
Was
I already mentioned him.
Was an
unbelievable
stud.
He was our player
of
the game yesterday.
For the postgame show?
Yes.
They tested him early. They tested him often. He was a big part of the reason why Harmer was able to get that first interception. That play in the fourth quarter when he stripped the ball, that should have been a touchdown. His shoe falls off. That was unreal.
It's nice that you're bringing up good things, and I agree with you on J.C. Jackson.
Oh, what else
people don't want to hear that today.
I feel like, we all don't need to act like Eeyore. We don't need to act like Eeyore.
I don't think anybody's acting like Eeyore.
Are you kidding me? It's like, whoa, where's me?
No, it's not where's me. People are pissed. You don't
can't
think people,
stop the run.
No, sorry I think people, to disappoint you.
I think people are pissed today.
Brady falls down when he throws.
Guess I'm too dull to be around.
You want
to
hear from the people?
Too many penalties.
See, I'm not getting that today. I think people are pissed.
Yes, you are.
Nobody's tough.
Just right for not much of a donkey.
To the phones we go. Monique is first up from West Warwick, Rhode Island. Monique.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hello.
I am calling because yesterday's game, those penalties were outrageous. Sitting there watching the game, every time we seem to be getting a little bit of momentum on the offense, they'd throw the flag. Of course it was against the Patriots. Same thing on the defense. We were, ready to get a stop, throw a flag against the defense. I am accustomed to no penalty football with the Patriots. I'm accustomed to victories.
Sounds like you were to me. Sounds like she's pissed.
See, you're part of the problem with
this is what I deserve.
Yeah, I've been following them for 18 years. I deserve a Super Bowl every year, or at least go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that is just. Yeah, no, I get it. You're spoiled. You're spoiled. Oh, you're entitled. That's you think. You think you just deserve it. I get it. I get it. I understand it too. Like in any other city, 11-5 is an unbelievable year.
Oh, stop it!
What? Don't 11-5 is great.
It's about respect.
Just don't even go there. I mean, come on.
Woe is me. That's woe is me.
Yeah, that's Southern.
You know
California
what? I'm gonna be. You know what? Here. Mentality. So since I know I'm gonna get my 11-5. I feel like I'm happy now. Like I could be the real me. I don't
guess
have to
I'm
be all
too dull to be around.
Yeah, I don't
so
need to be all doomed.
That's what it was all about. It was about
yes,
you
I
being
reached my
right
goal.
It's not about the Patriots.
Nope.
It's not about
never
analyzing.
Was.
It was
never
all
was
about you.
Of
okay,
course.
We should be in honest. Here's John in Connecticut. Hello, John.
How are
hello,
you,
John.
Guys? Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Merry New Year,
Christian. This one's for.
Oh, he hung up on you,
Christian.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
No,
what's
I
up?
I'm here, Christian.
What's up?
This is for you. Being that you played, and yes, you played with Tom, my question is going to be, out of nowhere, they're struggling to block on the offensive line, supposedly. So when Tom's calling something out, and then the center's calling out the blocking scheme, am I correct so far?
Okay. Wait, was that the question?
Why all of a sudden would the offensive line have so many problems unless Tom's not where he's supposed to be, sliding here, there, or anywhere in the pocket?
Are you talking about on pass protection?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but he doesn't know where the pressure's going to come from. He has no idea. He's just identifying
some
the front
of it pre-snap, but doesn't know where they're going to go.
No, no. He. My point is, like, he identifies it and he sets the front so the offensive linemen know who to block, but he doesn't know if they're going to win or not.
Hey, can I just throw this in, John? You had a problem with the offensive line and the pass protection?
No. When I was watching it, I wasn't. When I watched it the second time, I'm saying, I almost feel like the offensive three line times feels like we blocked into where he ran, not away from him. I mean, they can't tell. They have their back to Tom.
No, what Christian just told you. I mean, you don't have any idea. I don't have a problem with the pass protection. Matter of fact, I think, if anything, a lot of this is on Tom Brady, that Brady is falling far too early. Brady is trying to protect himself right now. I think he's getting plenty of time back there. I mean, are there certain broken plays? Absolutely. A blitz here or there, you know, twist in the middle. Stuff is going to happen because teams, you know, they have talent too. But I don't see it a pass protection
see, this
issue.
This is one of those games. This is one of those games where you don't beat them up, in my opinion. Like, you don't beat them up.
Cliff.
No, and you don't mention the cliff. You sit there and you go, guys, like, it's just so simple, right? I get it. It was loud. You're a little anxious. You were nervous. You thought you were going to, you know what, next time I'll protect you. Like, to me, so you can actually look at the fact that the Patriots did not come out of the locker room, like, what seemed like forever.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
After the game.
Yeah,
After the game.
And Belichick and Brady were late getting to the podium, and I think they were the only ones at the podium. So, but that long time frame, and notice what all of the players were saying after. Because you can always get an idea what Belichick was talking about. They all recite the same thing. It is what it is.
Not a score.
They were all on to Buffalo. There was something said in there where Belichick was basically pushing ahead to, you know, we made our bed now. You know, now we got to go get these next two games.
It was an ugly loss.
Yeah.
You know, and it was again, 8 pre-snap penalties, bad drops. You know, and going back to the offensive line, you know, I think sometimes if you watch it on TV, just first glance, you could sit there and say, yeah, he was under pressure a lot. And I go back to, I don't think he moved in the pocket like we've normally seen him. You know, there was a lot of times you said, geez, if you just stepped up, you know, Cannon or Brown would push that defender right behind you. You step up, maybe over, find a space, deliver the football. No, the falling down thing is just getting a little bit too much right now. Well, we talked about this a few weeks. I think it was even a Tennessee game. We're giving up on plays too soon. And I think you could definitely say that in that game last night. And I don't know if it's the pass blocking or, like I said, him not moving to space that is created by the block.
I think he's getting plenty of time in most plays back there.
See, I don't think it.
I really think the protection has been on the whole good.
Well, that I do have an issue with the way he fades away from contact.
I'm not sure what we're going.
Yeah,
with
like it just seems like it's happening earlier than normal.
Well, that's the point we're making.
And
right?
I feel like
it's on him.
I feel like it's not. Like, he's not playing – he's not missing throws because he's physically not fit. Like, his arm is weak. His issues are mental. Like, that's my last week against Miami, mental mistake.
And you know mental.
I would say this week, I would say yesterday, mental mistake.
So you get that penalty. It's second and 15 on the 21 or whatever it is, right? And we looked at the film before. There's 33 seconds to go. And he didn't even look at James White, who had a lot of space. Now, usually after like a big 10-yard penalty and second and 5 goes to second and 15, you know, especially if we're in that, where you are in the field, we're just accustomed to almost getting some of it back, right? Like, it felt like Brady just to get some of it back. You know, throw it out there to James White. Thought he could have had plenty of space to maybe get out of bounds, maybe right around that 10-yard line, create like maybe third and 5, which would have created fourth and 5. Instead, it turned into basically three Hail Marys from the 20-yard line, throwing it from the 25. And the first two weren't even close to Gronk. I mean, he didn't even give the big fella a chance. But the first one, you had James White.
He talked
about
that.
And I think he could have got out of bounds at, you know, 20 seconds, something in that from about the 10. And now everything's a little more manageable.
Yeah, it would have been less than that. But I think what he was looking at, because he talked about that, I think they had it in their minds. They were going into the end zone. They were going into the end zone. They weren't going to take a chance with the clock.
That's just three Hail Marys then, from the 20-yard line.
That's what they did. If you look at it, that's what they did.
Thought they had time to get one play close.
And Brady this morning was talking about that, and he pretty much said that that's what they were trying to do, that it was a clock issue, and they were concerned about the clock. And they might have only got one more play had White gone out of bounds, right? One more
See,
play.
See, the big debate is that is one of the big debates.
Oh, I don't know.
One, could he, should he have thrown the ball to White? And two, if he did throw the ball to White, would White have enough time to get out of bounds?
Yeah, it looks like he would have.
I don't know. I think unless, yes.
Well, yeah. Unless he tried to head toward the goal line.
Well, no, I would think a guy like that would
pull the Todd Gurley like last night. Well, if you saw that.
No, but
even if he had one play left, you know, because that was second and down. Let's say he doesn't get out of bounds.
Yeah.
And you're forced to actually go down there and spike it on third, just to create like a one more play,
right.
Fourth and 5.
Right.
It's still a little bit more manageable than 3rd and 15 to throw it to the end zone, and 4th and 15 throwing it to the end zone.
Yeah, but I think they would determine.
Because at that point, you can't throw it to the 5-yard line because there's only, whatever, 15 seconds left.
We can bring it up to Bill, but what I got out of Brady was they were pretty much determined that was the route they were going to take, that they were not going to gamble with the clock, and that they were going for the end zone. Now, you can look at that last play and say, what the hell were they doing? 4 receivers, all vertical routes. And then you end up with a jam with both Edelman and with Gronk in the middle of the field. He was never going to get the ball to Gronk because it was ahead of Gronk.
It was a Hail Mary.
And basically, right, pretty much. But you had 5 guys there.
Yeah.
There were 5 guys there.
And Edelman.
And
smallest Edelman. Of all of them.
Right.
Who are you throwing it to?
5 guys.
No Josh Gordon either.
That's a great question,
and
Glenn.
The only thing I can think of, Christian, and you tell me, is that maybe Brady was they were looking at that play saying, we'll have Gronk up top, we'll have Edelman and... even Tony Romo talked about that he thought Edelman should have come back to the ball. Maybe they were thinking we'll get the first down, and then we still have enough time to come up and spike the ball, and now we would take over the next play would be from the 3-yard line.
I can tell you what that play is
called.
So
that they would have had about 8 seconds
left. That's a pretty basic play, and when I looked at it, it was weird because both Gronk and Edelman verged to the inside. They merged together. Normally, what happens is you have 2 receivers on the left, 2 receivers on the right, and it's called a sticks play. So the inside receivers are going to run up as fast as possible, go about 3 yards into the end zone, but then they're going to come right back downhill, okay, and create some sort of diversion, right? If they're open, Brady gets in the ball right away. The outside receivers do in routes.
That's what they did.
Okay.
Well, I take it back. Patterson did. Hogan did not.
Which is weird. So right. Hogan looked like he quit.
Right.
So I'm like, well, did he just see that the ball was going inside? Because usually that play will either come late to those guys bending in late because everyone's covering Gronk and Edelman coming back downhill. Because even if you catch that ball, okay, you're down at the 5. You got one play, no timeouts. You got chance to run play.
Right.
And you also have a first down.
You have a first down, so you can spike the ball.
Yes.
But you're probably left with about 7 or 8 seconds.
See, I think that's
weird. I mean, second and 15, the last 3 plays were essentially just, you know, 2 uncatchable throws to the end zone and then just a jump ball.
Yeah.
It's like he couldn't just throw a Hail Mary because, like, well, the odds of them intercepting it is high.
Yeah.
And so he just threw it out of bounds to save time. But then it looked like the same thing. Like, it ended up being a Hail Mary pass.
I'm not sure. Well, it was deflected. I'm not sure that was the intention, though.
No, I know. But it was just like,
Romo's sense made that was interesting where you talked about that Edelman was going to come back. But if Edelman came back on it, there were three guys right there. He was not going to get into the end zone. So he was going to be tackled at the three-yard line. Now you've got to come up, you've got to spike the ball to get one more opportunity at the end zone. And I'm not sure you feel any better trying to do it from the three-yard line, because red zone, they're horrendous no matter where they are in a red zone.
That's ridiculous. Of course you do. Wouldn't you feel better at one play from the three-yard line rather than one play from the 20?
Well, it depends how much time I've got.
Even if there's 3 seconds, I still feel better.
Right.
I mean, just 1 second, I still feel better. I can do a bunch of different things. I can do a quick little slant. I can do, you know, there's a bunch of things you can do from the three.
Well, if you can get up there and you can spike the ball, suppose you don't get up there in time. Well, if you don't get up there in time. So I think that's what Brady was talking about today when the clock was in his head. And I don't know, the clock was not in his head a week ago when you had the,
the game in Miami.
Right. But it was in his head with this one. All right, right back to the phone calls coming up next. Belichick coming up in about 10 minutes.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, so flip-flopping. What are you doing?
Okay, so I'm not going to flip-flop, which is I'm going to actually stick to it. Okay, I said the Patriots are going to be 11-5.
Right.
This is the only way they get to that fifth loss. It's more of a selfish issue. So I got Patriots. I'm going to take his score, but flip it. 31-27. Steelers.
It's Pittsburgh to Super Bowl.
You've never seen anybody now, giddy as me after
the
game.
It's all about Fourier. So what you've done, cleverly, you go and you pick it because you want to be right about 11-5, and you were right. Then you realized, well, you're pissing off a lot of these Patriot fans. So what do? You come in here today and say, even though last night you're tweeting out that this team sucks in their
No, I never said they suck.
You said, yeah.
No, I didn't. I never said they suck.
I'm paraphrasing. Excuse me.
They've always been just, they're an average team.
Okay. So today, you suddenly watch the game again. Suddenly, you're optimistic. You see nice things.
Well, you know why? Because I didn't
you're just
see,
trying to please.
You're just trying to please. Because I didn't see guys like Whiffen Box. I didn't see guys like giving up. I didn't see guys like, you know.
Oh, the effort
just
was there.
Playing like
Nobody's
crap.
The effort.
It was really just really, you know, procedural penalties pre-snap.
Yeah, that's
it.
But that's not.
You're not
focused.
Losing. You're not losing a one-on-one battle, which happens more than not. If the other guy's getting paid too, you can't stay on side.
Yeah, that's
you can't line up correctly. Right. That to me is like I want to throw something at you.
Okay, mental, focus and mental toughness is part of that. All right, we get back to the phone calls. Then we'll talk to Belichick. Here's Alan Everett. Hello, Al.
Listen, guys.
Yeah,
I can't begin to tell you. I am so friggin' mad. I can hardly tell you. I read the papers. I listened to you guys. I seen the game. I'm an avid fan. You have no idea. I'm real old.
Okay. Gotcha.
But what people are saying is one thing, and what they're not seeing and saying is another.
Well, tell us.
I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
They had 14 penalties yesterday. They should have had 15. You know why?
Why?
Because when Brady threw that pass, you had two guys standing there. I'm not going to give you their names. You know who they were, and so do I.
Gronk and Edelman.
Stood there with their head up there, you know what, while that guy from Pittsburgh caught the ball. Why the hell didn't they put him out of bounds?
Well, they attempted to throw him out of bounds, didn't they?
No, they didn't attempt.
Sure they did.
They attempted to.
Sure they did. They attempted to.
All they had to do was push him off so his legs would get out of the ground.
I would agree with you that they needed to put more pressure on him. Okay? They did not do that. But I would say overall, that was what they attempted to do.
Are you me?
I missed that whole call.
Where did you go?
I switched. Oh, I thought Bill's coming in.
That was beautiful. So
Bill's not
over.
Coming in yet.
No,
he's talking about the interception that I think that both Gronk and Edelman tried to knock him out. As a matter of fact, I think if Edelman wasn't there, I think Gronk would have lifted him
Maybe.
Out. And
Maybe.
I think it would have been incomplete. But Edelman almost like knocked him back inbounds.
Yeah, because I thought at the time he might have got only 1 foot in. Then when I saw the replay, I said, oh, my God, he was further inbounds than I thought initially. It was going to be very difficult for Gronk to get him out of there, even with his strength. Here's Mike in Seekonk. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay.
Love the show. Hey, Big O, you guys are awesome. Christian, you're one of my third favorite tight end. Framingham Lou, you are awesome, dude. I love how the Patriots lost it away. Because
what?
It brings me back to the 80s. When, oh, my God, We were, oh, a wild card team. Here we go. Maybe we could make it.
Like
the
80s.
It's a drama, the nail biting. You know what I mean?
Let's go back to 1955.
So mentally, you're sort of bringing yourself back to the pre-Brady Belichick era to try to appreciate this team.
Correct.
Throwback. Throwback.
Okay,
correct.
That's an interesting correct. Mind game you're playing. I like
you
that.
Know, it's the best way to be. You know, just last
week, drugs.
We lost 4 week games. It's ridiculous. It's not the Patriots' way. So we must go back to before Parcells.
All right. So you're feeling pretty good today, Mike, right? You're feeling good about it. Good.
Oh, I'm feeling.
I'm happy.
I think
I'm
a lot
miserable.
I think a lot of people are like, there's like, they're in denial. Like, they're trying to find ways to take comfort in this loss.
I can't.
Like, how do I get through? Like, this is the seven stages of grief.
I told you how to get through. They're going to, as always happens, everything falls right for the Patriots. It will fall right for the Patriots. Houston will lose next week in Philadelphia, and the Patriots are going to be your number two seed.
Where are you guys at right now with Julian Edelman?
Too many drops.
Well, I'm just looking at, like, so his games, I mean, he is, you know, missed all of last year, we know. 2016 was healthy, had 98 catches, 1,100 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, 10-game pace, he's sitting there at 63 catches, 711 yards. I mean, he's, you know, on pace, he's telling you that he's a similar guy. I mean, he's probably 95 touchdowns, you know, he's there.
But we don't see him and haven't in the past.
A lot of drops.
Drop the ball the way he's dropping it this year. He's leading the league in drops this year.
You guys see that after the game with like Mike Giardi? Was it Mike Giardi, I think, that asked him about, did he ask him about the drops? It got a little weird, uncomfortable.
Julian, when you guys have drops, is that concentration, is it timing? What, I think you guys had 3 today, which is the most you've had this season as a team.
Yeah. Next question.
Next question.
He doesn't want to answer it. And
how do you answer it?
You just
sit there and say,
take cheap shots.
No, just like every other question. Yeah, we did. We had a lot of drops. We had a lot of penalties.
Yeah,
we got to be better.
Costly penalties. Critical drops. At least the timing. The other thing is that the timing of the penalties and the drops could not have been worse.
I think Gordon's them all written down for you.
Gordon's
every
drop.
The play-by-play.
I think it was that first drive coming out of half. If I'm right, it's like 3rd and 6. Just came out of halftime, and he had that bad drop that was an easy first down. The one off the forearm where Romo's like, I didn't hit him in the chest, but hit him in the forearm.
Well, everybody keeps on saying,
wasn't there, would have hit him in the chest.
Yeah, well, everybody keeps on saying they couldn't get a rhythm, and, you know, Josh McDaniels, the play calling, we heard some of that. Well, you can't get a rhythm or you can't set plays up. If you run 2 plays, you advance the ball, and then suddenly they're pushing it back because of a penalty or a drop pass on what should have been a made play, and you're moving the ball down the field. That was their biggest problem, trying to get into a rhythm offensively, is all those freaking penalties. All right, let's see what Bill Belichick has to say. He will join us live here in Foxborough coming up next.